Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, please do keep your Bibles open to that passage, page 1072 in the Bibles in the pew, and wherever it is on your devices, you'll know how to find it. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we come to look at your word now, please would you help me to explain your word faithfully and clearly. And please would you, by your Spirit, be at work in all our lives, so that as we hear your word, we might respond in obedience and faith to your praise and glory. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about our confidence as Christians. Confidence in Jesus, confidence in his word, and confidence in the resurrection. This evening, we're going to continue with this theme of our confidence as Christians. This Sunday is often referred to as Low Sunday. Now, that's not just because so many people are away on holiday and so attendance in church is low, although that is often true. But rather, it's called Low Sunday because after the build-up to the Easter weekend and the joy of celebrating Christ's resurrection, the Sunday after Easter can feel just a bit flat. We can be left feeling just a bit low. After all the excitement of the celebrations of Easter, everything goes back to the way it was. The pressures of work, our normal day-to-day routines, intrude on our lives once again. The problems and the burdens that we've been carrying and the temptations that we've been trying to resist have not gone away. And doubt begins to settle in. Did Jesus really die? Is Jesus really alive? And does it really matter anyway? So what? What difference does this make to my day-to-day life? Well, that's rather a depressing start to a sermon, isn't it? So I have something to cheer you up. I have with me my egg collection, part of which I will share with you later on. But the first egg I have in my collection is a standard hen's egg. Nothing particularly impressive about it, except that under the right conditions, conditions for which this egg has passed, because it is hard-boiled, in the right conditions would produce a chick, a new life, reminding us of the history-changing event of Easter, Jesus rising again to new life. And that's the first truth that I want us to hold on to as we go into our day-to-day lives. Jesus is alive. Look with me down to verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, I don't intend to rehash all the evidences trying to prove that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. In fact, I can't really empirically prove that. However, when you gather all the individual points of evidence, rather like a drawing by numbers, you're left with the unmistakable image of the resurrected Jesus. The evidence is there for all to see, if we would only look. John Featherstone really helped us last week in his sermon to consider some of the evidences. And there are some excellent books available that look forensically at the evidence for the resurrection, showing us that the only sensible, logical conclusion that we can come to is that the resurrection really happened and that Jesus is alive. But seeing the evidence isn't enough, is it? Even when Jesus stands among them, the disciples are not convinced. Have a look down to verse 37 and following. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." So alongside all the evidence that's there for all to see, Jesus very kindly and graciously reminds them of the teaching of Scripture. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then also down in verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." You see, the events of that very first Easter were not some spur-of-the-moment, unexpected accident, but part of God's great salvation plan right from the very beginning. You can't read Genesis chapter 3 of the offspring of Adam crushing Satan's head, or the account of Noah being rescued from the flood, or the institution of the sacrificial system in Leviticus, or the promise of the servant king in Isaiah, and not see how it points to Jesus. His life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus himself had already told them a number of times that this was what was going to happen. It was part of God's plan. To give just one example, if you just flip back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 18, and we read this. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." There is the evidence for all to see. And there is the whole of Scripture teaching us that this was part of God's great salvation plan from the very beginning. So as we look back to the Easter weekend, what thoughts come to your mind? Are you feeling a bit like the disciples, full of doubts and questions, trying to make sense of it all, trying to understand the facts, trying to believe the truth, but struggling to work it out, what it all means? Or can I ask you, have you honestly considered the evidence? Have you considered what the Bible teaches about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection? We'd love to help you do that. Here at Emmanuel, we host a number of evenings. We call it Christianity Explored because that's really what we do when we meet. We explore the evidence. We unpack the teaching of the Bible and what it tells us about Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and what that means for us. It's an opportunity to bring all those questions that you have about the Christian faith and look at them honestly. If that's you, why not talk to one of the leaders in the church who can help you I know that Christianity Explored is going to be running again soon, and there'll be notices coming from the front. Why don't you listen out for them, and then make sure that you sign up? The evidence and the scriptures all point to the fact, so we can have confidence that Jesus really is alive. But we are still left with the question, so what? How does that change my everyday? How does that impact tomorrow? It would be sad in the extreme if all we took away from Easter is that Jesus is alive. And that leads me rather neatly to my second egg in my collection. Now I have here, a Fabergé egg. Now, you won't be surprised if I tell you it's fake. These were first made by a chappie called Peter Fabergé, and they were made as gifts for Easter for the Russian royal family. And the first egg, rather uncreatively called the hen egg, was commissioned by Tsar Alexander III. And in 2015, it was valued at more than $33 million for that little thing. Not that particular one, obviously, if only. But that is quite an Easter gift, isn't it? It kind of puts the other sort of chocolate eggs to shame, really. But therein lies the clue to the second truth of Easter, that we are to hold on as we go into our day today. And that is simply this, that sins can be forgiven. See, what difference does the fact that Jesus is alive make? Well, it makes all the difference in the world. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sin. The resurrection of Jesus and that of our sin, that our sins can be forgiven, are inextricably linked. They go together. We see that in our passage. If we look down to verse 46, and Jesus says this, he tells them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin. All our religious activity, our church attendance, our trusting in Jesus is all pointless and empty. We will have been wasting all our Sundays. And we remain alienated from God with no hope of eternal life. The Apostle Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians 15, which I believe David preached on this morning. And can I encourage you, if you weren't here this morning, to go and listen to it or watch it on YouTube. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life, if this life is all we have hope in Christ, then for all people we are most to be pitied." It's a rather depressing thought, isn't it? But that isn't where Paul ends. Because Jesus is alive, and therefore we can have confidence that when we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And that we too will be raised to eternal life. Paul goes on to say in the same passage, he says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Because Jesus is alive, we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven when we trust in him. Now that is a very precious Easter gift. Far more valuable than some Fabergé egg. You may be sitting here this evening and feeling overwhelmed, maybe weighed down by your own failures, by your guilt. You can't even forgive yourself. And so you think, how on earth can God forgive me? Well, the awesome news of Easter is that Jesus died in our place. He took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for our rebellion against God. He took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for our sin. And by rising from the dead, declared God's acceptance of his death as a substitute for us, so that we can be forgiven and receive his righteousness. Paul makes this very clear in Romans. It'll come on the screen. Romans 4. Paul says this: the words "it was credited to him" were written not just for him alone, but also for us. That's us. To whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, isn't that great news? Does this truth not lift your spirit, cause you to want to shout with praise to God? Which rather neatly brings me to the last of my eggs. And this, perhaps unsurprisingly, is a collection of Easter eggs. Now, what's so fantastic about Easter eggs, apart from eating them, is that they are also great things to share with others. Now, I could keep them all to myself, but that wouldn't be very generous of me, would it? And probably somewhat greedy, because you're all looking and thinking there's quite a big bag of eggs there. I understand there's over 100 in here. So why would I keep them all to myself? Surely it would be kind and a good thing to share them with you. So I'm going to do that. If you want to just take one and pass them on. If you open it up. So, as the bag comes round, help yourself to a couple of eggs and keep you going. We're almost at an end. Oh. No, no. No, I said pass the eggs round. I'll call you up in a second. Barry's getting nervous here. He's not getting eggs on this side. They're coming. But here is that final truth of Easter to take away with us this evening. This message that Jesus is alive, that sins can now be forgiven and relationship with God restored, is good news worth sharing. That's the right response to the Easter events. Look down at verse 46. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Jesus wants this message to be shared with the world. If we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, then we are witnesses of these things. We have received that very precious gift of sins forgiven and relationship with God restored, knowing that just as with Jesus, we too will one day be raised to eternal life. Why on earth would we want to keep that to ourselves? Now, recently, Judith and I have become grandparents. Grandpa Greg, who would have thought? But give me half a chance and I'll drown you in pictures. And little Grace is only 3 weeks old. It is such good news, I can't help myself in wanting to share it. I shared it with everybody in the church this morning as well. I don't know what they thought, but there we go. It is such a precious thing that one wants to share. And so is the news of Easter so precious, good news, worth sharing. One reason we may not share or want to share is because we don't quite know what to say, and we worry that if we say something wrong, we're going to turn people off, or they will not be interested, or we'll get it all wrong or leave something out. Well, Emmanuel's here to help again, because there is something that's going to be happening next Sunday afternoon, a workshop in sharing your faith. So why not do something about it? Sign up and come along next Sunday afternoon. But you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter if you don't have the perfect answer or the perfect gospel outline or you leave something out. What matters is that you share it. And let's not forget what Jesus said to the disciples here at the end of our reading in verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And that promise, of course, was fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And you can read about that in Acts. So now God the Holy Spirit is within every believer. He will help us as we step out in faith and as we share the good news of Easter. So now, if the band would like to come up, let's round things up. Jesus is alive. Do you believe this? And because Jesus is alive, yours and mine and anyone else who trusts in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Do you know that to be true of you? And knowing this amazing news, are you willing to obey Jesus and be his witnesses, sharing this good news? How might you need to respond tonight? Maybe you need to consider the evidence. Commit to going along to Christianity Explored when it next runs. And bring those questions and those doubts to get them answered and to think about them. Maybe you need to take that step of faith to bring yourself before the Lord Jesus and to acknowledge your sin and so to receive that precious gift of sins forgiven. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you need to sign up for the Sharing Your Faith workshop, which you'll hear about a little later on in the notices for next Sunday afternoon. And come and learn how to share your faith with others. But don't just go away from here this evening without making a decision. Maybe you want to make use of our prayer ministry team and go and pray with someone about these things. Maybe you need to pray with someone to pray that the Lord would open your mind to understand the scriptures as you consider the evidence, to deal with those doubts. Maybe you need to pray for release from the guilt of past sins, and to know in your heart the forgiveness that is found in Christ alone. Or perhaps you want to pray with someone to pray about a friend or a family member who you want to share the faith with, and to have courage and boldness to do it. Well, why don't you take the opportunity to meet with one of the prayer ministry team and to pray that through before you go home tonight. I'll leave you for a moment to think about how you will respond, and then Stu will lead us in praise.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.